Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the podcast by dads, for dads, and for anyone else interested in the topic of fatherhood. We think becoming a dad is a pretty fucking big deal. Maybe the biggest deal you'll ever go through as a man. The problem is that blokes are not always that good at talking about stuff and sharing their feelings. So we're here to redress the balance. But don't worry, it's not bloody Mumsnet. This is blokes talking about stuff. Important stuff. Dad stuff. The good and the ugly sides of it. I'm Seth, a first-time dad, and I'll be joined by my pal, Jamie, a soon-to-be dad, along with a different guest on each episode. And this is essentially our month-by-month account of what we're going through and what's on our minds as we foray into these unfamiliar, joyful, and often choppy waters. Choppy waters. Choppy waters. Welcome back, everybody, for the second episode of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. It's me, Seth, your friendly host. And, of course, Jamie's here again.
Hello.
We tried to get rid of him, but he just kept coming back.
Yeah.
Actually, we're in Jamie's studio, so actually we're the ones that keep coming back.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but yes. Welcome.
So a lot has changed since the last episode. I am officially now a dad.
Woo, well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was all me.
Do you feel different?
I do feel different, yeah. There's something about that moment when you hold your child in your hands for the first time that kind of changes you, I think, and your perception of the world.
Yeah.
But, I still get annoyed when I watch the football and things like that. Just to introduce our guest for this second episode.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
We have with us Will Clark Smith, who is a friend and confidant of Jamie and myself.
Good to be here and nice to be those things. Seth, I think we met in the first logic class of our philosophy years down at Sussex University. Jamie, I've met kind of through university friends, sort of mutual friends. And yeah, as he will tell you quite a few times, I actually met him two times, maybe three, before I actually remembered his name and
that we'd ever met.
This is true.
He introduced himself to me like three times, and every time I was like, well, I've met you.
It's because I'm very polite. I'm a polite man.
But it's weird because of all the things that you might, throw at Jamie.
Forgettable.
Yeah, forgettable's not one of them.
Yes, it is. Definitely is. 100%.
He's just jealous I'm taller than him. That's all it was.
Yeah, I think it is.
I blocked it out.
I'd like some sort of mental block where there was a man that was taller than me amongst our group of friends. And,
Will's 5'1" and Jamie's 5'2". Will is a sort of senior creative and director at a small ad agency. So, Will, your daughter's Freya?
Yeah, that's right. Freya Isabel, and she's 8 months. Well, she turned 8 months a week ago on Saturday. So, yeah, she's the best.
Yeah, it was about a week and a half after we recorded the last episode. It was a Friday, and I was due to go into work. And, I didn't, because it all kicked off. We sort of knew from the night before, actually, that it was sort of heading in that direction. But it's quite difficult for knowing that you're actually in labour or that your partner's in labour is quite difficult. It's quite a difficult thing to work out because it's all so new. And the feelings that you have, like the contractions and stuff, they're quite similar to other, kind of
contractions like Braxton Hicks or whatever they're called, type things that you haven't had in the past. And so it's quite difficult to sort of ascertain this is actually what's happening. Alice said to me, I've been having these sorts of weird kind of feelings, not emotional kind of feelings.
You sure?
They went a long time ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
Physical pains, let's say. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this, you know, let's see how they progress, I guess. Just like maybe time the distance between them. So I think it was about 11 o'clock in the evening, we really started to think, hang on, this is it. But it wasn't that painful for Alice at that point. So there wasn't really much I could do. So obviously I went to bed. But
obviously,
but not before strapping on the TENS machine, which is, I don't know if people are aware of what it is, but it's like, do you know what it is?
No, I have no idea.
I've never seen one.
I've heard of them. I've never actually seen one.
I mean, be careful like not to sort of get these out in public, because it does look like you're strapped up with like a suicide bomb vest or something.
Okay.
And in fact, at the hospital, I was actually kind of, as I was, I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit. Yeah, when we got to the hospital, Alice had it strapped up onto her. And of course, also this like big sort of bulgy thing in front of her, which is obviously the bump. And I was like, if someone was a bit suspicious.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I strapped on the TENS machine and I went to bed.
What is it? You haven't said
that. Sorry. So it looks a little bit like a bomb vest, but it's got like little kind of electrodes or something in it. And it gives you like a small electric shock. And you can turn up like the voltage, basically, so it gets more and more painful. And the idea is that you start it early on in your contractions. And at first you don't really feel it. But as the contractions get stronger, you increase the intensity. And it's sort of a distraction thing. Ooh. So it's not
actually...
It kind
of confuses the nerve signals. So basically, because it's like focused around the back, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so like the nerve like that send the signals from the kind of the uterus area can get blocked off by this other signal coming through from the TENS machine.
And
so you say you strapped that on. I thought you were wearing it.
Oh, right, no, that would
you
be...
That
would be great.
Why are you wearing this?
I put that on. Alice went out into the other room to watch Netflix, and I went to bed. And then in the morning, she woke me up, and yeah, she was like, yeah, they're still coming, and they're getting more regular, and they're getting more painful. And I was like, okay, this is it. I better, like, email my work. And then she started getting annoyed with me, because I was on my computer. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I've got to tell work. I'm not coming in. I've got to settle my out of office. So this was, you know, obviously, like, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. One of the first things that we did when we were both sort of up is called the hospital just to sort of see what we should do. And they said what we thought they were going to say, which is stay home as long as you can. That's the best advice. Yeah. As long as it's not too painful, stay home. So we took that advice and they said, give us a call in a couple of hours and let us know, like, you know, if anything's changed. So that's what we did. And we just, you know, Alice distracted herself by bouncing on one of those big balls. Sorry, hang on. As I said that, you know the one, those kind of
Pilates
exercise.
Yeah.
And the reason why they tell you to try and stay at home as long as possible is because, you know, if you come in too early and they check you and you're not sufficiently dilated, then there's a chance they're going to send you home.
Ugh.
Which is like the worst thing.
Yeah.
Both of us were conscious of that. So we were like, let's just try and stay here as long as possible. So yes, a couple of hours later, we gave them another call. They said the same thing. A couple of hours after that, we gave them a call and Alice was like starting to get quite like, you know, she was in quite a lot of pain by that point. But again, they said, if you can stay home, we still recommend it. And so we did for a little bit longer. But then it got to a point where we were like, no, we should go in now. So my mum and sister drove round and took us to the hospital. And yeah, went up to the labour ward to kind of be admitted. And the funny thing is, they didn't think that she was that far along.
But did they do the checks?
They did, but didn't the midwife say to you something about how like they could see in your face, like how...
Oh yeah, yeah. So like because when we got there, I remember like, because yeah, you meet a lot of midwives before you actually kind of, the experience happens. And I just remember vividly one of the midwives saying, when you go to the labour ward, the other midwives will look at you and they'll be able to tell pretty much by the woman's look on her face, is she about to give birth? And I vividly remember when we got there, they just looked at Laura and they just went, right, straight, get it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They were like,
she's about to blow.
She's about to pop. Yeah.
Oh, so they were going to look at, they looked at your face and realised that
yeah,
you were
exactly.
in like,
this guy's a fussy old. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. He's not going to last. But so what? Did they just like look
at
Alice
they
then?
Didn't believe her. They,
no
they,
way.
But obviously she didn't know if she was definitely like in, you know, the final stages or whatever.
It's but so hard to tell, isn't it? That's the thing.
The midwife sort of saw that she observed one of the contractions.
Mm.
And obviously that contraction was... Because they sort of vary in the intensity.
Massively.
At that stage. And so she just evidently witnessed a fairly, like, you know, okay one. And so it was just like, this girl's a joker. She's probably like, you know, probably not even pregnant. And
she's got a bomb vest strapped to her.
Say, check her vest.
So like she said, right, so, okay, I'm going to check you now. I just want to sort of ask you beforehand, like if I check you and you're not, you know, you're not like fully in labor, shall I do like a membrane sweep, which is basically in order to kind of progress things.
Mm.
I didn't really think that much of it, I have to say. Like it didn't, because I was like so convinced that it was all happening. Yeah. Alice was like, what, you're trying to tell me that this isn't labor? Like, she was like, this is so painful.
Mate, if I was Alice, I would have just laid it on thick as soon as I got in there. I would have just like, no matter what the contraction was being like, I would have just gone like, if they're judging it on contraction.
So Jamie, are you advising women to
pretend that they're more in labor
in
order to swamp our crumbling NHS even further?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I just say, don't do that. So she didn't believe her, but then obviously then she did check her and she was like, you're 6 centimetres. Okay, so we were cool. Like, I was like,
is that a lot?
Yes.
Is that a lot?
Well, you need to be at 10. You need to be 10 centimetres.
For what?
For the baby to come out.
Right. And so, Oh, right.
Yeah. She said 6 centimetres. I was like, crack it. Yeah. This is great. It's exactly what I want to hear, because I don't want to be in the hospital any longer than I have to be.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 4 hours. Yeah. Done.
So we were like, okay, so how long can we expect to be in here for? And she said, well, what we do is we'll check you again in another 2 hours. And what we hope to see is that you've dilated another 4 hours we'll check you. And we hope it will be 2 centimetres. So we're like, what? So we're going to be here for another 8 hours. So obviously, Alice is like, give me the epidural.
Yeah, standard.
I can't do this for another 8 hours.
No.
And I don't blame her.
How long has she been going by that point?
Well, since this would have been about 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. So it'd been going for like over 12 hours.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So it's it's a long time and it's hurting. And obviously...
It's a lot of Netflix.
You could get a whole series done on that.
She did, didn't she?
You could watch a whole series.
Did she get like close to doing a whole series?
She did, of like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Of all the...
I shouldn't say it. Can we cut that bit out? I'm going to get in trouble for saying that.
What, the Gilmore Girl? That's the thing you're going to get in trouble for. So much good shit on there, and it's Gilmore Girls.
So they said, what we say is, it's going to be like 2 centimetres every 4 hours or whatever. I was thinking, it's not, because it's just not.
Because you're a doctor.
Because it's happening so quickly. I didn't think it would.
But I suppose. But it just happened like that quickly, like, because 12 hours is quite a long time.
Yeah, but it...
It felt like it had progressed quite quickly.
It got to a point where it was like really painful quickly. Because we didn't really talk about like birth plans or whatever, but our birth plan very clearly stated, you know, we'll try and do it, you know, in
au naturel.
Yeah, I certainly like don't kind of look down on people for wanting it. I mean, if I was going through that pain, I'd
100%.
But the thing is that like you have the option at like a lot of these hospitals to go into the midwife led units or whatever, where they're really good and they kind of like they're you know, without the doctors who kind of tend to kind of come in and stick their nose in and kind of slow things up, and they're very encouraging and they kind of help things progress as quickly as possible, which is kind of what you want.
But also the midwife led unit will actually take the time as well. That's kind of like one of the key differences, because like sometimes in the labor ward, the doctors actually want to get things done quite quickly.
Yeah.
So they can actually try and hurry things along when actually you just need to let this thing kind of run its course. Yeah,
exactly. But in order to sort of stay in the midwife led unit, we wanted to go to the pool and stuff and all that kind of stuff. You can't obviously have the epidural.
No.
Once the epidural, it's like, you've got to be in the labor ward. You've got to have the anaesthetist in there. It's all. So Alice was like, give me the epidural. And I was like, well, it's not in the plan. And it's like...
I bet you have missed the popular.
The thing is, though, they say that you should try... Like, it's kind of your job as the dad to try to speak for both of you, because you agree stuff beforehand about what you want.
Yeah.
And at the time, obviously, when you're in that much pain, you know, you don't necessarily have all your kind of faculties. I've got to be very careful about what I say here. But you don't... It becomes hard to sort of make the choices that you wanted to make.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's try and do it the way that we had it written down.
If she'd have asked again, What would you have said?
What about the epidural?
Yeah.
Well, she did. She was like, I want it, 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 I want it. But it wasn't just me. It was the...
But how long did you let her say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, how long did you let her go, I want it, I want it, I want
well,
it, I want
let's
it.
Let's wait until your next let's contraction.
Wait like 5 minutes and see how we go.
But she did really want it. And then the but it wasn't just me. So I think if it was just me, she would have won the argument, let's face it. Mm. But the midwife, the sort of main midwife who was there on call at the time, came in and gave her this pep talk and was like, come on, you can do it. You've got it on your birth plan.
Whoa.
Most people, she was like, most people come in here and they have the birth plan and they can't do the birth plan because things go wrong. You've had the perfect labor so far. Like, just keep like, going. Go with it. Otherwise, brilliant. It's going to slow it all up. She was like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. So we got in the pool and we were doing, like, I say, yeah, we were doing the gas and air. So Alice was doing it and then I was doing a bit.
It was good. How was that? Is it a proper nice little high?
Yeah.
What's it like?
I don't know. I've never done anything like
that. No, maybe you had to liken it.
Well, have you ever been to the dentist?
Yes.
Right. So,
right, so like that, yeah.
Yeah. Or have you ever done balloons at a party?
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's like that as well. Okay. And yeah, it's quite fun. We were listening to the National.
Yes. Oh, nice. What track?
We had on Fake Empire, I think.
Yes. Well, that is the best.
Best
track,
song.
By, the best track by the National.
Well done.
Good choice.
Yeah. Oh, I think
great
so.
Great choice.
I think so. So I was having a great time. But Alice was getting more and more, you know, she was getting more and more uncomfortable.
You're having a party.
Yeah. And so the gas in there was kind of working to an extent, but it's supposed to, again, it's a sort of a distractionary thing. It doesn't really kill the pain. It's supposed to just sort of confuse your brain into thinking that you're not in excruciating pain. And so it was sort of not really working. And you've got to time it right as well. You've got to do it at the right moment so it sort of peaks as you're having the height of the
like contraction. Any drugs, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know about
that.
Neither would I.
Then Alice said to me, what's the time? And I said, 3:30. And she was like, what? I thought I'd been in here for like 2 hours and it's been like 10 minutes. She's like, right, give me the epidural.
No.
And then there was a bit back and forth like that. And then we were like, okay, she means business now.
Yeah. But oh, so you did go for it.
Well, basically you realise afterwards that is the classic moment when they're like, right, no fucking about now. Let's fucking get
stage one to stage two.
That is exactly.
Yeah.
That's when you're transitioning to like the final stage.
That's when the adrenaline kicks in and everything goes pretty mental. To keep track of you, falling through the sky, we'll have a wing in a fake empire. We'll have a wing in a fake empire.
So we were getting her out of the pool, getting a little wheelchair thing to take her around to the labour ward and call the anaesthetist and all that kind of stuff. And as she's getting out of the pool, that's when the mucus plug dropped out. And I was like, oh, hello. That is disgusting. But also,
what was it like?
It's really like dark red, the colour of like head blood.
Oh.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's mucusy as well. It's got like an edge, a residue of kind of like snot. So
yummy.
Yeah. So I fished that out and saved it for
standard
later. So she got up and then she was like walking and the midwife had said to her, do you feel like the sensation to like poo or anything like that? Or do you feel you need to push? And she was like, no, no. I realised afterwards she was saying that because she did want to feel like pooing and need to push. But she was worried that if she said that she did, that they wouldn't give her the epidural. So she lied.
Ooh.
So they
see,
got
the lying thing works.
Yeah, exactly. Well.
Yeah, for so long.
Well, exactly. They find you out eventually, Jamie. Yeah. She was walking towards the wheelchair to sit down for them to take her through. And then she said, oh, like I can kind of feel something. And she said afterwards, she told me that she wasn't going to say that. But she was like, I can't lie about this. She was like, okay, I'm going to need to check you. So she checked her and she was basically like, yeah, the baby's coming. That period was like, probably like 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah.
And it just went, just zoomed by. And then at the end of it, there was a baby.
It's So it's happened. I'm here with the baby. Hello, baby. He's just sucking your little hand. I mean, I've literally never been so amazed in my life. Alice was amazing. The midwives were amazing. It was incredible. Now we've got this lovely, beautiful baby. You can hear her breathing.
Big up, Alice. That's huge. Yeah. And baby girl, and you called her?
Eliza Neve. Well, we quite like the name Eve beforehand. Yeah. And in fact, we quite like the name Neve. The baby arrived on December the 23rd. And I said, oh, if it was the day afterwards, we could have called her Eve, Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And then someone pointed out, I can't remember who, I think it was my sister, well, why don't you just call her Neve? Because it's like nearly Eve.
Did you cry?
I don't think I did cry. I mean, it was incredibly emotional. It's an incredible feeling. And the two kind of overriding emotions were that I was incredibly proud of Alice for having kind of gotten through this incredibly traumatic experience. And obviously overwhelmed, there was this baby there at the end of it. And they left me alone with the baby because Alice had to kind of...
go and have a shower and kind of clean up and stuff.
Yeah, we'll say that.
So we talked about Bad Dad before, and I think he's got some good tips for us guys out there. And since we've been talking about labour quite a lot, here are Bad Dad's tips on labour.
I am your father.
Hi, it's Bad Dad here, and I am here to give you tips for labour. The first one is to not stay at the business end of the birth. The main reason for this is for mole support with your wife. Eye-to-eye contact is very good. It also dramatically reduces your chances of seeing poo. And what has been seen can never be unseen, so it's very important. A second one is downloading Football Manager, which is a classic football management simulation game onto your iPhone. Labour is really long, but mobile Football Manager can be played extremely sneakily during contractions and can help you pass the time while also keeping you mentally alert for any situations which may arrive. My final one is hypnobirthing, which is a technique which really puts the woman in control of the birth, which ultimately takes a bit of pressure off you. And a relaxed father is a happy mother. And that's all from Bad Dad for now. I'll speak to you next time. Bye.
Did you go down the other end?
I didn't, because I couldn't. Alice got on the floor on this kind of like really flat beanbag. I don't know why it's so like flat. It was like, well, this isn't going to support anybody. Mm. So I ended up having to basically like lie,
I would, like
wedge
her.
My body behind her. So that
you were a doorstop during this labour. Yeah.
Essentially, I was lying back, prostrate, with like a moist towel so I could like lay on her head. And that's all I was doing. The rest of me was just supporting her.
Good man.
I was sort of looking from her perspective and I could kind of see the baby kind of poking its head out after every or during every contraction, and obviously all the other stuff that was coming out at the same time.
I saw the other day that Jamie Vardy's wife is basically eating the placenta. But she's getting him in placenta pills. I didn't know that was a thing.
No, it's disgusting.
But don't you think that's more money than sense now to kind of get them crushed? If you're going to do it, just do it. Eat
just
it. Fry it up.
Just right there.
Fry it up.
Yeah. Don't even bother.
Fry it up. Eat it. But to get it crushed up, put it like... I just think it's like another
make
bit of a...
Make it into pate or something.
No, it's
placenta
like...
placenta pate.
Could be quite nice.
See, there we go. See, I reckon someone would buy that. Like Brad Pitt
definitely
would buy that.
Why Brad Pitt?
Other people's. See, I just feel like they're the kind of people that would...
Maybe.
Have all the money to do
with Paltrow.
Yes,
get something like
there we go.
That.
And basically, then put it in a NutriBullet.
Yeah,
you know, there's like no real evidence. Or actually, I say this, I haven't actually researched
Dr.
it.
Seth's back in the building.
I assume that there's no real evidence that it actually does anything.
The reason they do it is because, like, obviously, back in times immemorial, And this is what other animals do as well. They eat the placenta to stop predators from being able to come and find you.
Right.
So mm-hmm. they do say that that's one of the reasons. And also it does put in a lot of nutrients kind of back into the system, if you will.
And it'll stop predators trying to come and
get you.
Kill you.
Which is really important.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
When you're at King's Hospital.
Yeah.
And top
the
of the food chain.
Camberwell, yeah. It can get quite hairy.
Mm. Yeah.
If you're carrying around a placenta with you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So did you have to spend long in the hospital after she was born, or did you go straight home? Because it was like the day before Christmas Eve, so that would have been...
Yeah, so we were like desperate to get home.
Yeah.
But they always keep you in, apparently. If it's your first child, I guess because, you know, they want to make sure that you're competent enough. And there can be other complications.
And yet they
let
you
out. I think it takes, it's that kind of stuff, isn't it? They need to checks on
check and make sure that you're breastfeeding okay and all that kind of stuff. So like they want to keep you in. So we stayed, Alice stayed in one night.
You didn't stay?
Would you stay?
Of course I'd stay.
Yeah, 100%. Man,
I looked up.
100% I'd stay.
That chair isn't even that uncomfortable.
It was the right decision.
For you?
Both of us agreed it was the right decision. Because I was like...
What about Eliza? What does she have to say about this?
She had some strong opinions on it. But ultimately, she thought...
Manifest themselves when she's 18 years old.
No, I mean, obviously, it's like difficult. You don't really want to leave. But, you know, in case people are sort of unaware that, like, in an NHS hospital, there is only one bed there. There's just nowhere for you to sleep comfortably. Like, there's either a hard chair... or trying to squeeze into the bed, which is what I think you did.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Well, you shared the bed?
I shared the bed with Lauren and Freya. And
so Freya wasn't in the little...
No, we kept her with us the whole time, yeah. I don't know why, it was really weird. Like, I guess after like it all happened, she just kind of never left either of us. Yes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But it was more like, I kept on looking at this thing to put her in. I just thought... Oh, she just seems like so on her own and in like this weird little plastic kind of thing. And like obviously there's nothing wrong with it. Because then the other weird thing that I found, maybe because you didn't stay, you didn't notice this, but like, did Alice just have like tons of energy straight after the birth? Because I was so tired.
Yeah. She was hyped afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, after going through this traumatic experience, there's like this massive kind of rush of like endorphins. And
it's incredible, adrenaline. Isn't it? Because like normally...
She was absolutely rushing.
Really?
Yeah. I was quite tired.
Oh, mate. So, was it really hard?
It was.
No, Joey, like, seriously, this is a point, actually. And for guys that are listening, they should understand that this will happen because it's very weird when you're in this situation where your wife or girlfriend has been through what is an incredibly physical, like time. Like, and, you know, obviously it can last for 15 hours or it can last for 4 hours, whatever. But whatever happens, it's an intensive physical period of time, and yet they come out the other side of it skipping away, whereas the dude, like the man, always ends up just being absolutely exhausted because they've been through this emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. What did you do that night that you went home? Did you just go home and sleep, or did you
strapped up to the tent machine?
I watched
a bit of Gilmore Girls and just chilled out. Strapped up to the tent machine. Yeehaw!
No, I went to my parents' house because my dad made curry.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Actually, I say he made curry. I thought he'd made curry when I was leaving. When I got there, it turns out he'd bought curry.
You saw the box in the bin.
Yeah. Just nestling. Exactly. No, he didn't try and disguise it. It was obvious.
Plain as day.
See, my dad, I always thought it was quite funny because every like mate I've had who has had a child, they all say, yeah, we stayed over, stayed the night. And I think about my dad, when he's always told the story that on the night when I was born, he went home and got a Chinese and had like wonton soup and just sat there.
Perfect.
And I was like...
And had a whiskey.
That's quite liberty. That, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Smoked a cigar.
Yeah.
So what was your first night at home like?
It's kind of... it's daunting because, you're suddenly... Because I suppose when you're looking at it from, like, say, from my perspective at least, but maybe a male perspective, we haven't had this child growing inside of us for 9 months. We know that it's coming. We're aware that it's coming, but we obviously haven't had that kind of, that physical bond the woman has had with it. So suddenly you, like you say, you've got a child. You've kind of got this tiny little person who you have to look after. So it's incredibly daunting. I remember driving back from the hospital and I drove about 10 miles per hour.
Which is probably more dangerous than it is to drive.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Going over every speed bump like so slowly. How did you find that first night, Seth?
It was great getting home, but definitely that first night trying to sleep is like one of the most sort of like nervy things.
And it was Christmas Eve, so you were just like really excited to see if Santa had come. So.
Exactly. I was trying to balance those two.
Double excitement.
He put the mince pie out and everything.
Did you?
Yeah. Obviously, I always do.
Fair play.
I didn't. You're very jumpy, let's say. Obviously, every little kind of like peep that comes out of them, you're like,
is she okay?
Yeah.
Well, the weirdest thing I found is like she was making quite a lot of noise, and they do breathe in kind of quite a strange noise.
Yeah, and you were like, shut up.
And then, but then as soon as they stop, you're like, is she alive? Is she alive? Yeah. What's going on? You're like, dash
it's
over.
Exactly that. Yeah. It's exactly, you're like, please just be quiet. And then they're like, what's wrong?
And how's the breastfeeding going? Like, have you, like, not just that, but have you tried any of the breast milk?
The breastfeeding is going well, and yes, I've tried breast milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
It tastes fine, as far as I can make
out. I'd describe it as weirdly metallic.
Mm.
Why do you think that is? A lot of
iron.
It must be.
Must be, yeah.
Yeah, but it does change. It's very sweet, but like very metallic.
Straight from the source or bottled?
No, bottled.
I don't think I've got the suction power that a child has to get it out. They tell you that this little baby is very, very weak, right? It can't really do anything, but what it can do is suck the life out of it. I mean, it really goes through it. So, and it's like their whole face contorts into the breast, buries its face into the breast. I've never seen anything quite like it. Yeah, so not from the source, but just from the bottle.
Yeah.
And it's all right. Because you had like some difficulties with the breastfeeding.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just, weirdly, because you have lots and lots of talks and lessons about all the labour and everything that's going to kind of come with it. But you don't actually really get told that much about breastfeeding. Like in our NCT class, and we had a very good teacher, we had kind of one session that was about breastfeeding where she really kind of like did strongly say, this is going to be difficult. But you know, when someone says this is going to be difficult, you're like, yeah, it'd be fine. You know, we got this.
Yeah, but other people it'll be difficult.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Other people, it'll be fine. Yeah, I'd say that was a lot, lot harder than the labour for us. But then obviously we had very quick labour and it wasn't too bad. So I think it's, you know, these kind of things.
I think it's just, there's so many unquantifiables about it, aren't there, really?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'd say if there's one thing that I would say as any piece of advice to anyone is just go and get help sooner rather than later.
Jamie is quite a kind of tech-savvy guy. Quite cool. He's up with all the kids, I would say.
Yeah.
For that very reason, he's sort of volunteered himself to sort of try out all the funky dad technology or dad tech that's out there. Papa's got a brand new bag.
First of all, there's a lot of apps which are kind of out there, but the best one was actually put on to me by a mate of mine, which I've installed on my phone, which is what you do, and it's called Sprout. Has anyone heard of that? Have you heard of Sprout?
I've not heard of Sprout.
You heard of Sprout?
No.
It's kind of cool, right? So you put in your due date, and then it gives you, I'm showing it now, but it's free, and it gives you a visual representation of what your baby will look like. And then it gives you facts every time. So you can click on one, and it will tell you that, oh, feel kicks maybe more prominent at this stage, and you may now feel many of these movements. And obviously, this is talking about the mother, not me. And then it also tells you what size it is and compares it to a fruit. So it's now zoomed out and shown me a... Whoa, actually, I hadn't done this one before. A size of a banana.
That's big.
Not right. Surely 25 centimeters. That's not a banana. And it tells you some other stuff. Like the next one I scrolled down was vaginal discharge.
Right.
Which, again...
Are you suffering from that?
I'm not at the moment. Yeah, and then you've got a journal thing in here, which I'm not bothering with because I'm a bloke, innit? So I don't do that. But I guess for girls, this would be quite good. But I think for guys, it's good because...
Well, it just demonstrates, again, why we're doing this thing.
Yeah.
Where is all the stuff for us guys?
Yeah.
What stuff were you hoping for?
I think it would just be like one that just sort of says how you might be feeling like every week.
So and the football scores.
Yeah, the football scores. Just combining them together.
And then you've got other things like a weight tracker, a kick counter, and a contraction timer. So it's good. I've had some fun with it. And I recommend it. So that's a good app. It's called Sprout and it's free on the App Store and Android, whatever that's called as well.
So if you want to sponsor us, then obviously...
Yes, we're here.
Shout out to the Sprout.
What's the situation on nappies as well? How are you finding, like, has there been any like poonamis, as I've heard them called before?
Yeah, I think I've done a little home recording.
Oh, yeah.
Of a particularly nasty incident.
Well, maybe we should listen to that.
Hi, so it's about 7 o'clock in the morning and we just had quite a hilarious pooing incident. I discovered last night when I was changing her that if you give her a little tickle while you're changing it, you can sometimes get her to squeeze out the last little remnants of poo into her dirty nappy before you change it, so that you don't have that situation, which happens a lot, where you change them and then they shit immediately in the next one. And like often, like, you know, the shits aren't like human, like as a human, they are human, but they aren't like adult shits. They're not like if I shit my pants, there's no question about it, I would have to change my pants immediately. But with babies, young, you know, newborns, the kind of shit that they shit, you know, it's kind of quite liquidy. It's not essential given the absorbency of the nappy that they change it. But when you've got them up on the change table, the last thing you want is if they shit in it immediately, because you feel like, well, I kind of have to change it now because it's right here, everything's set up. So yeah, so I realised yesterday that you give them a little tickle and they'll just squirt out the last little bit. So anyway, I applied this theory this morning when I woke up, but it backfired spectacularly. So I gave her the little tickle and sure enough, it kept coming far and out. But the thing is that it just didn't stop. And then it's like, oh, it keeps coming like that. I'm just grabbing more and more cotton wool. And I kept having to sort of stem the flow and like plug the. I can't really complain too much because I didn't actually get shat on. So that's that. All right, bye.
But it was messy.
Will, you bloody love it,
mate. I was the nappy king. Like, I honestly, I felt to, and it goes kind of back to the breastfeeding a little bit, because we were like struggling with the breastfeeding, and then it. A lot of pressure on Lauren to do that. I just kind of thought, right, if there's one thing I can do,
that's my zone.
It's like I will just like own these nappies, and like,
yeah, I was a bit like that. Yeah,
because
well.
Few things that a man can do like effectively when it comes to very small children or babies, if you will. And for me, I was just like, right, that nappies, I'll just be on it every single time. I'll do it.
Hey, do you know what I saw the other day? Someone sent round on WhatsApp an advert from India, which is vaginal tightening gel. Basically, it's like a national, a TV advert which is going out, and it features this girl starts saying, it's almost like a Bollywood kind of number, and she starts going on about how she wants to feel like a virgin again, and okay. It's basically this gel which apparently is tightening for vaginas.
Obviously completely bogus.
Ooh, I feel like a virgin.
Did you guys talk about the massage?
Like, yeah. That was
because obviously, if you can loosen, then maybe you can tighten.
Yeah, but loosening with a massage is different to tightening with a gel.
Oh yes, it's true.
Oh yes, it's true.
Oh yes, you do.
Oh yes, I do.
Feels like the very first time.
And it's called 18 again. That's what it's called. I mean, there's so many levels of wrong on that.
That
I think.
Is really wrong.
Yeah. I wonder what the active ingredient in that gel is.
Whatever it is, if it actually worked, you'd have to question the safety of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because whatever it's doing to your insides can't be good.
No,
you don't want to get it on anything else. No, don't put it on your eyes. Your eyes start closing up.
Feel like a virgin. 18 again. Vaginal tightening and rejuvenating gel. Now in India.
Question. Where does everyone stand on bump pics?
In what respect?
Like the update of girls taking pictures of their bump and putting it on social media.
Well, I mean, as you know, I'm not a big fan of doing that sort of stuff anyway, so I'm against it.
Okay, well, but you are against anything going up on social media, really. So.
But I think particularly, I don't know, look,
I don't know if I can't work out if they're really lame or quite nice.
I don't think they're lame.
Are you doing sequential bumpies though? So that way when she's born, you can show like... Okay.
Well, that's what I mean. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, but if you do that for yourself, then that's great. Yeah, you should do it.
We don't take pictures for ourselves. Take pictures to show everyone else how great we are.
Yeah, my point exactly.
Would you like to get pregnant / give birth / breastfeed? Any of those things? Do you feel like you're missing something?
Yes, I do. Like, I know obviously it's an incredibly painful and difficult period, but as I was saying before, I think in terms of like how a woman Lauren got to bond with Freya before she was born, I think that's like, to me as a man, it seems kind of magical. It's something completely different that I'll never know. So I think in terms of experiencing that, yeah, of course, I'd like to sort of like see what that's like.
Is there also a part of it which is connected that you just... You think it's a bit unfair that they get all the credit? Like, wouldn't it be nice if there's something that only dad could do? And you'd be like, yeah.
Mate, that's where nappies come into play.
Yeah.
And I know you like to think that you're the only person who could do that.
But... No. Yeah, maybe. I think it's also just kind of like, it's a different perspective, which I think is always interesting to have. But then, don't get me wrong, like, I am very appreciative of being a man.
Mate,
and getting to kind of
so relieved. Yeah. Every time I hear any story or see that one born every minute or hear that... I am so happy that I don't have to do this.
Mate, like, totally. I mean,
so psyched about that.
I think if you asked me, and probably put me at that point when the baby's about to come out, I'd be like,
honestly, fuck that. I'm not doing that ever. And I'm, you know,
wait until you have to do the perineum massage and your fingers start aching.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Then you'll know then what
I'll
your
know.
Pain
yeah.
is.
Then I'll know.
So I think that about wraps it up. Thank you very much, Will, for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Next pod, I'll have had our 20-week scan, which is tomorrow, in fact.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So
best of luck.
Which I don't see as a big... I never thought was a big deal.
Are you going to find out the sex?
No, not going to find out the sex.
Why not?
I don't want to.
Okay.
As I said in the last pod, I feel it's like opening all your presents at once. I like to leave one under the tree just for the last... And I know there's a lot of...
It's only one present, though.
Yeah, but it's a good one. Listen, the amount of people who are giving me shit about this...
Dude, the amount of people that gave me shit for finding out.
Yeah. Fuck you, haters.
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 Fuck you, haters. Because Freya doesn't really look like me as a baby, but everyone, pretty much, 9 times out of 10, says she looks like my brother.
Yep.
Joe.
She does. I'm not saying anything.
I'm not saying anything.
Remember, you can get in touch on Twitter and follow our movements at Good Dad Ugly. And also, we'd love it if you could rate and review the podcast on iTunes, just so we can kind of get the word out there.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.